This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
Hi, my name is Sammy. I live in California. I've had trichotillomania since I want to say second or third grade, and I never knew what it was until I got much older, like probably in like high school. I didn't really recognize what it was. So I always just thought I was the weird kid with not a whole lot of friends, a very small clique. And yeah, I was just very intrigued in learning about it and finding out what it was. And there was only a few other people who I really know struggled with it, but it wasn't something well known to everybody. And when I was a kid, I remember we had like this spinny chair, and I was just like going at it, like at the top of my head at the end of my part, and I remember spinning in the chair and like swooping up all the hair, and I could literally make a Barbie doll head of hair.
Yeah, there's something about, I just recently made a video about the end of the part, the back area here, where every hair feels like the perfect one to pull. It's like very crinkly. Is that what you noticed too? Like searching for that certain texture?
Yeah, it's always at like an open area, because when I had one of the preventative things, I got an undercut, and now this is how long my hair is. It's always where the skin is. And I find that now that it's growing back, I'm like, ooh, there's more crinkly, like the ones. So yeah, I definitely notice.
Do you remember what your parents' reaction was when they maybe saw you do it, or they saw maybe missing areas or thinning?
I didn't tell my parents for a long time. So in elementary school, there was an outbreak of lice pretty frequently. And I had been getting lice pretty early on, because they would say, oh, this kid's good to go back. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, so-and-so has it now. It was just being passed around, like, you know, kind of like a chicken pox party. So my mom thought it was the result of the shampoo that killed the lice. So she was like, oh, my God, we have to find all these other alternatives. She was like, I'm not shaving her hair. She would be an absolute wreck if I did that. So we kept using different methods of lice shampoo. Like maybe this brand, a different brand. But yeah, I didn't tell my mom or my dad until like high school, like, hey, this is what I've been struggling with since this time period. Yeah, they were like, oh, okay, that makes way more sense now.
Were there other things, I know that you talked about the lice shampoo, were there other things that you said to people instead of admitting that you were pulling it out yourself that maybe you would say in order for them to maybe not question you again?
I didn't really do it in front of people too often, because I knew they would think it was weird. Like, it's not a normal behavior, and it's not something that normal kids around me were doing. So I would always just like, if someone was turned, I would like pull at the bottom and then just hands up kind of deal. I would say people now in my 30s definitely notice it more. They're like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm full on honest. I'm like, oh, I have trichotillomania. It's just something I've always had.
When did you find out the name for the disorder?
In high school. Yeah, I forgot exactly what I was doing. I think it was a science class. There was, we were going over behavior and patterns, and we were going over alopecia. And then my teacher was like, oh, there's also something else called trichotillomania, where people just have these nervous habits or tics where they just pull hair out. And I was like, that sounds like what I do. So then I started, you know, researching and looking into it more. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea. And like, it's like when someone with an autoimmune disease finally finds out what's going on with them and they just break down crying. It's like that sort of moment. there's finally an answer and a name, and you can put everything together and try your best not to necessarily cure yourself, but to make things better.
From there, did you ever seek professional help, like through a therapist or a psychiatrist?
I had been to a therapist, and I'm not anti-medication. I know it helps certain people, but I guess I was in disbelief, like something could truly, sincerely help me. And I also grew up very poor. So I was like, I always felt like a huge burden on my parents if I asked them for anything, and I really didn't like to see them struggle. And I would always hear conversations of money or like financial struggles or something, and I was like, I don't want to bother them with this. And they'd be like, hey, let's go back to the therapist. And I'd be like, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, and just lie about it,
As someone who I was on a ton of different things as a teenager, like hoping that something would maybe fix my pulling, nothing worked, waste of time. So for me personally, like you mentioned, you're like, I'm not anti-medication. I'm not either. For me though, I am. Like I've tried it all. I've given my best shot. And something interesting was I was just at the TLC conference. And one of like the top psychiatrists who deals with people with trick and everything, and it was about medications, and I went on purpose, knowing like, okay, I don't want to take them for myself. Let me see if there's something that would maybe open my mind up again. Why was it the same exact medication from 16 years ago that they're using today? Nothing has changed. And I said, wow, okay, this actually ha has solidified my mindset of, for me personally, no way. Because five or six different pills, he literally listed them. He said, this person's on this many. He showed like case studies. The same exact medication.
That's so interesting. See?
When you did go to the therapist, was there anything that the therapist said that maybe stuck with you in a good way, that you liked, that you continued to maybe use or reflect on?
I was a very shy kid, so opening up was mission impossible. Like, they have a great job. Congrats on your schooling, but it was useless in my opinion. I didn't feel like anything helped me. It felt like it was more like a forced adventure, a guilt trip. Like, why do you do this? Like an intervention. And I was like, I'm not responding well to this, and that's why I told my parents I'm good, thanks. So yeah, I didn't really have the best, obviously, response or re results.
What are some ways that you tried on your own to maybe lessen your pulling?
When I found out in high school, I put tape on my fingertips because someone had said, oh, you don't get the feeling, the sensation. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to pull the tape off, which I eventually did after like an hour, if that. Something else someone said, just like find something to do, play video games or something, and which I've always been a gamer my entire life. And I was like, well, I think that's a waste of time too, because I mainly do it in like a break or something in between. But yeah, I really didn't do much. Someone said, this is probably the worst advice, someone said purposely set yourself up for failure. So put your hair back in a ponytail or whatever it may be. And I would always either pull right here at the end of the part or under right here in the corner. And yeah, I pulled my hair out within like 10 seconds, and I took my hair down. I was like, this is not working. So I didn't really find anything helpful at the time.
Are there things that you find helpful now?
I go to the gym a lot, so that's the only thing that is my saving grace. The biggest thing for me, I have acrylics, and they definitely help because I always like run my fingertips down one strand, and I like to feel if it's like crinkly or not. But my fingertips, I like to like squeeze in between them, and I'm like, oh, it's the best feeling. But now that I don't have that feeling because of the acrylics, I still pull, but it's not like a pulling rampage as it used to be.
Yeah, sometimes especially when I was younger, I think for maybe many of us or all of us, when we're so little and we have no idea what's going on, it's like that trick trance, you're in there for 2 hours, 3 hours. Like, we don't know what stopping is. Like, we're just existing with this thing. And so I did notice as I've gotten older, sometimes I'll fall into it, but really I'm able to kind of curb that big trance. But can you tell us about a time where maybe you were in that trance for maybe a long period of time?
Yeah, pretty recently actually. So like I said, I've been growing out my undercut. Once I got engaged, started growing it out. I was like, I really want long, beautiful hair. Like that's all I ever dreamed of for like a wedding day. And our biggest issue was like kids or no kids at the wedding. And of course, I'm like anti-kid. So it's been like the only thing we've been like bickering about. And I just got so frustrated. I was doing so well for like a year and a couple months. And now there's like this big bald spot in the bottom right. So I'm like, there it is. And I felt like a little kid again, back to that spinny chair, because I did it right here on my bed watching a movie. And I was just like gathering the hair. I was like, I need to count these at the end of the day. And see how many I pulled. I think I pulled out like 207 was the number. And I know to like normal people that seems absolutely crazy, but when you are trying to help yourself and look at what you're doing, you have to count them. At least that's what I do, because I have to recognize what I'm doing to myself, and I have to realize like I need to help myself again.
Do you ever notice, like, after that trance like state, that bigger pulling spree, that the days following, sometimes you won't even be thinking about your hair at all? It's like it kind of almost feels satisfied. Did that happen to you?
Yes and no. Like I knew it obviously happened. I knew it happened. But then I'm like, I don't know. It's such a relief, because I always tell people, since I'm a huge gamer, it's kind of like a kill streak in the video game, like Call of Duty or something. It's just like if you pull one and then others happen to be next to that hair, and it's like pop, 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 pop. It's like, oh God. How satisfying.
Oh yeah. I recently just I pull for my eyelashes as well as hair, and I recently had a few eyelashes that were so annoying to me. Like, they were just perfect. They wanted to come out. I found myself touching them all day long. I said, "You know what? I'm getting rid of you." I said, "I can't be a slave to these eyelashes. Like, they're bothering me all day. They're on my mind all day." I literally pulled one out. I said, "Fine." And then today I'm like, I'm not even thinking about them. I'm like, "Okay, it's not there. It's gone. It hasn't bothered me at all." But it was like that whole day I spent touching, feeling, wanting to pull it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm getting rid of it.
Oh yeah, I do this like all day at work, and I know people are looking at me like they're like, what the hell is going on with this girl? Like, no, this is a serious thing that nobody really understands or knows about. It's so satisfying.
What is your ritual with the hair? So I know you line them up and you'll count them. Do you like ever rub it across your lips or anything?
So I've heard of people doing that. I've tried like just to see what it was like, and it wasn't my thing. I don't eat it. I don't rub it on my face. I don't do it on the lips. None of that. It's gonna sound weird too, but when I count them, I like look at every single one. I'm like, you're thinner than this one. You're crinkly. You're gonna go in this section. Like I divide them accordingly. So bizarre.
That I like that though. That's a I think that sounds very satisfying to me.
Is so satisfying. It's like separating your Barbies, like who's the cool Barbie doll? Like what, I don't play with this one so much.
Do you pull from any other parts of your body besides your scalp?
I've tried just, to try, but I've tried the eyelashes. That wasn't my thing. Eyebrows a little bit, but not as much. And I got them microbladed. So I was like, okay, if I do go back to that, then at least I have, a little security blanket there so no one can really tell. But I just always go back to my scalp, and then like on occasion when I do get my acrylics off just to take a little break, I notice that I pick my lips, and I'll like either pick it or bite it, and I'm like this, and people are like, what the hell is wrong with that girl again?
Isn't it so interesting that we have multiple BFRBs? Like, I only recently, within the last few years, knew that like lip biting and lip picking were considered a BFRB. And when I was a little kid, I would just go like, and then this little part would come off, and it would hurt sometimes because like I was, I guess, chewing it off. But I'm like, oh, even before the trick, I remember having a BFRB just to self-soothe.
It's and again, it's instant gratification. Just because it's like, oh, I got rid of it, it's gone. And then the next week when it's back, you're like, oh, crap.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. So I know many people in the community are nervous to go get their hair done because maybe people don't understand. Maybe they'll get shamed for it. How was your experience with going to the hair salons?
I, in my 20s, I was still working retail and I had saved up enough money. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go get my hair done. I haven't had my hair cut in like a year or two. Finally gathered the courage and I went to a local hair salon. I was like, hey, I just want some layers. And, you know, I'm not gonna say anything about my missing chunks of hair. So I sat down in this woman's chair and she basically ripped me a new one. She was like, what is this? Like grabbing my hair, splitting it, looking for more like missing patches. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, cut it. I don't know. So it was the worst experience. I absolutely, ever since then, I hate getting my hair cut. I do not get it cut more than once a year because I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to hear it. I don't like that they're making you public display in front of everyone in the store. Everyone in the store is curious, maybe even scared because they're probably like, oh my God, does this person have lice? Like, what does this person have? Is it contagious? Like, no. Don't shame someone, don't make fun of someone, don't make them feel like that in your chair. Chances are I'm probably not going to go back, nor should anyone else. And damn right, I did not go back because that scared me out of the salon for I think another like 3 years.
And that pisses me off so bad because where are your manners? Like,
Yeah.
what person with manners is gonna say that? Like, you know what I mean? Why are you
And I
like
remember
piss
I had a friend who was a barber, and I was like, do they guys teach you about any of this in school, like out of curiosity? And he was like, oh yeah, we went on like a whole section over it, and it's really sad. But I've asked other people and they're like, yeah, not they go over it, but not as in depth as, you know, other people may know or not know about it. So
I know that there are so many people now who go into, being a therapist or a psychiatrist who have BFRBs. They're hairstylists for people with BFRBs, and they have one because of an experience like that where you're being extremely vulnerable. You're scared to go. You go anyway, and you're like, it'll be fine. And then to have a completely horrible experience for 3 years, you wouldn't go back. I mean, that's so sad. That person, I'm pissed off at her. I hate her. So I just hate her. So. I mean, damn. It's just not it's not fair that you had to go through that, and I'm very sorry. And luckily, because of that situation, people have been in this similar ones. We will now have hairstylists who are much more empathetic and who have questions rather than berating people and saying the nastiest things. Maybe there is that curiosity where now you can know what trichotillomania is versus being like appalled by it. Like, what purpose did that serve? For her, you know?
yeah, it's like if she were go to go to the hospital to ED and like, you know, maybe her tibia is hanging out. The doctor's not gonna be like, ew, what is this?
Could you imagine?
It people common sense isn't so common. So at one point, I was like, I give up. But then I was like, you know what? Let me try it again. And the girl I go to now, funny enough, she works at Ulta. Her name is Emily, and she is amazing. She's like, oh, I've seen this before. So I only feel comfortable going to her. I will not see anyone else, even if they call me and they're like, hey, so and so is sick. We can cancel. We can reschedule with her, or you can pick someone else. I'm like, nope, only Emily.
Yeah, it's so important to find somebody that you really like. And I love that she said, oh, I've seen this before. That like probably made you feel like so relieved, like, oh, pressure's off.
The butterflies literally like flew out of my stomach when she said that. I was like, oh my God, I found one.
So tell us about the decision to one, get the undercut. Tell us like how that went. Were you nervous to ask the person about the undercut? You know, tell us that whole experience and then tell us about you wanting to grow it out.
So when I got I only got it because I had read, I think I got it 5, 6 years ago now. I read someone like, hey, I got an undercut. It helps me so much with my trick. I haven't pulled in X amount of time. And they were absolutely correct. I hadn't had like a full on like pulling spree in quite some time. So I went with like a V cut. I don't know if you can see it, but it went all the way like almost to the top. And again, for the most part, like it was good. And I always pull at the very bottom right side for whatever reason. Oh, there's one. And it did absolutely benefit me. I wasn't pulling. I was like, oh my God, I'm cured. And then, you know, that was a lie. So someone online, I read their comments and they were like, yeah, me too. Like, this has helped me so much. I was like, I gotta get on the bandwagon then, because if this simple thing will help me, I'm gonna do whatever it takes at this point, because this is the most annoying thing. And when you pull so much, like my hand cramps so much and it's painful. I'm sure I'm gonna get arthritis sooner than later.
What was the upkeep with it? Did you get, I know some people get like designs shaved into it. Like, how did you keep it?
I would say every 2 to 3 weeks you buzz it, and I went completely bald because I was like, I know I'm gonna be touching like the fuzzy, like prickly feeling. I know I'm gonna be like, oh my God, I hope it grows so I can pull out quicker. But yeah, every 2 weeks I would just tell them go all the way to zero. The only time I really got designs was around Halloween. It's my favorite holiday, so they've done like cobwebs or like a spider coming down. It was really cute. I do miss it sometimes. After the wedding, I probably will go back to the undercut just because, you know, if it helps, it helps. But when I initially decided to grow my hair back out was when I got engaged. I really wanted to try and see if maybe I could grow my hair out. I could get hair extensions. I could do this. I could do that. Maybe this is the happiness I need in order for me to be stress-free and not do this sort of thing. No. And it's not to say that my fiance doesn't make me happy. He absolutely does. It's just this is something in me that people don't realize with these certain tricks or tics. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I had like a tough time understanding why my trichotillomania was still around because I was like the happiest in my life ever. You know, I continue every day. I feel like I'm happier, I'm happier, I'm happier. Everything's just great in my opinion. And yet here I am still. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought I could only associate trichotillomania with being unhappy and, you know, miserable and things like that. But now I'm really happy and I'm still doing it.
Always. That's always, always, always going to be on my mind.
Have you ever seen trichotillomania or other BFRBs portrayed in the media?
No. And again, this is where I go back to, oh, no one really talks about it. So I've never seen a show. I've never watched a movie where it's portrayed. Nothing. Ever.
Check out my blog. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, but I do. I'm just kidding. I do go out of my way to try to watch these things because, like you, I had never seen any. And so I like ask people on the internet sometimes. I'm like, hey, where have you seen this portrayed before? Like, I'm looking on Reddit, I'm looking on these things because The only time I've really seen it was like my parents saw it in The Sopranos when they first watched it. And I was too young to watch it at the time, but now as an adult, I watched it. The girl's pulling out a chunk this big, a big hair extension's coming out. And they were mean to her on the show. So it was this whole thing. So anyway, I bring that up because sometimes the characters that they have with Trichotillomania are these like crazy, unlikable, manic characters. And it's just not true of the experience. Like, yes, there will be some people like that, but the typical experience isn't like that at all. And so it's just interesting and kind of sucks.
Yeah, I totally get that because I work in psych and people are always going to say, oh, it's crazy people. Like, not all of them. It goes any which way you throw it, but yeah, that makes sense.
And that's why I bring it up too, because I know that you work in the psych ward, and have you seen it there? Because that's, like I said, that's what people think. Oh, you know, that's where it'll be. That's where you'll see most cases. Have you ever experienced someone, if you're allowed to even share, with trichotillomania or other BFRBs?
I mean, we do get a few. When I worked with adolescents, I would see it way more with them than I do the adults ever. I don't want to say gender or obviously name, but they were just in a corner, just pulling, pulling, and they had pulled so hard a portion of their scalp had come with it. So this person had a lot of anxiety, a lot of family issues, just way more than anyone could ever imagine. I just felt so bad for that person. I hope they're doing better now.
At your job, is it somewhere that people will go consistently, or is it somewhere that they'll go for, a certain period of time?
Both. I mean, we deal with a lot of different people and scenarios. So every day is different. And, they're very sick, and I always feel very bad, but a lot of them don't have family or support, so I feel like that's where I like to step in and be there for them. My sister and I were having a conversation recently where a lot of people lack empathy these days. So, yeah, the best I can do is be there, be empathetic and understanding.
When I used to drive to work, I work at home now, but when I used to drive, I found myself driving to and from. I would be kind of like on the way, thinking about work, pulling, and then coming home, decompressing and pulling. Do you find yourself doing that as well, maybe in the car?
Yes. So on certain days when they're more stressful, absolutely. I collect it on my seat next to me. And then I look and see how many I pull. I'm like, crap, there it is. It's X amount of hairs. And then I just toss them because if I leave them there, then that's going to entice me to do it again the next morning or whatever. But I noticed I love taking baths. After work, I used to take a bath, and then it would happen way more there. And I would just leave the hairs on the little railing, count them, and then throw them away. Now I just go home, put my hair up, shower, and I'm like, okay, if it's back, it's up, it's covered with like a little shower cap, I'm okay. We're good.
Yeah, I love that. I don't drive often anymore, but if I do, I'm like, okay, I have to be prepared. There's like certain places in my house or my life that I know, hey, I'm so comfortable here. Like I'm going to decompress and I'm going to be pulling. Are there other places besides the car and you mentioned in the bath that you would find yourself and your bed finding yourself pulling more often than other places?
I just, hiding it for so many years, I would just try to do it in the privacy of my home. Like, that's always going to be in my number one spot right here. But, like, I notice myself doing it in public certain times. And, like, my fiance is usually with me. So he'll grab my hand. He's like, don't pull. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, he's really good about it, too. Like, he'll hold my hands and he'll just be really supportive.
I know for so many people in the community, the idea of sharing about their trichotillomania is so scary, especially with a romantic partner. How did you end up sharing with your soon-to-be husband?
I was always really straightforward with him from the beginning. I was like, hey, my family dynamic isn't the greatest. I still love them, but XYZ, I have trichotillomania because of it. Or they trigger me to pull more. This is what it's called. And I just went into like this whole explanation of what it is, what I do. And he's like, okay, what do you need from me?
What advice did you give him? Like, what are some things that are helpful to you that he can do?
I think at the time I really didn't know because he was the first person who came along who was like, I'll help you. So he was like, let's try new things every day. He actually was the one who was like holding my hand from the get-go to prevent me to, to do that. I was like, oh, I never would have thought. And like, I've done the whole like sit on my hands kind of deal, but it's like, okay, obviously I'm holding myself back from, a fun time.
How would you describe your relationship with your trichotillomania now versus when you were little?
Oh, it's so much better now. Like, not just because I realize what it is, I found different ways to try to help myself. But as a kid, again, when you get bullied all the time, and I got the nickname Lawnmower Head because I had like little patches missing. Yeah. Kids are so cruel. And now that I'm an adult, I'm 35. I mean, I'm pretty honest and I always tell people once you reach your 30s, you really don't give a shit what people think about you anymore. So I think that's a huge part of it now versus when I was little and just like doing everything and anything to like hide it versus coming out and saying
Can confirm, 30s are the best. Wow.
I have friends who are like, oh, would you go back to your 20s? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm staying right here.
They were wild and fun and exactly what was needed at the time, but hell no.
Yeah.
What do you wish people who don't have BFRBs knew about BFRBs?
I've gotten, oh, you're just seeking attention. No. If I wanted attention, I would be doing something way drastically different. So I hear that on a very rare occurrence and it pisses me off. But again, it goes back to I wish people were more empathetic and understanding. I remember working with this girl at a retail store back in the day, and I told her about it because she had seen me in the break room just going at it. And she's like, do you have trichotillomania? And I, at first, I thought she was going to be like, oh, me too. But she was like, my best friend in elementary had it, but she had it so bad that she like had to braid her hair like a certain way and like had the spray, the hair color spray. And I was like, oh my God, like, do you still talk to her? I'd really love to get to know her. But unfortunately, she didn't. And it's just, everyone's story is so different and so amazing. And we can all learn from each other. I think social media has definitely ruined a lot, but it's also beneficial because a lot of people will comment on something not knowing, and they feel the need to input their two cents when they don't know about something. So I'm like, just move on, keep scrolling.
Yeah, I had a someone comment was like, "What the F is this?" about one of my posts, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, blah blah." So I like explained it, and the person was like, "Oh yeah, I do that with my skin." I'm like, "Yeah, we're the same." They're like, "Okay, cool," but like you came in so hot before.
Yeah. I
What the
think
F?
I saw that you posted that and I was like, what's this?
Yep. I screenshot those comments. I screenshot the nice ones and the mean ones. So you know what I mean? Like it's just funny to. To have like, what I called like a good conversation with somebody who at first saw something that they didn't understand and took the time to be like WTF, when the actuality is the algorithm is showing you because it seemed like you needed to see that because now you have found out you have the same thing.
I mean, that's how I found you essentially, because I was just scrolling and then I was like, oh, she does what I do. And then I was like, this was a great find.
The algorithm does work. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've met so many amazing people who do the same thing I do. I mean, I don't know how they do it because everyone will say, like, not me doing this while I see your video. And it's like me up here, showing, like, not showing me pulling, but like feeling around. And they're like, I'm literally doing the same thing. I'm like, I don't know. Somebody's watching. The FBI agents are pushing me to see you so that we can connect.
Yeah, it's so funny how that works, but it works.
What advice would you give someone who wants to maybe share their experience with their BFRB?
I would say just do it when you're ready, because I always think about, had I been as open as I am now in my 20s or earlier, I would have been shunned, pushed away. Just like everything, do it at your pace, do it at your time. And that's what I'm sticking to.